Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Oh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Loud. Local.
Our band is actually from the surrounding immediate metropolitan area encompassing that which is known as the Great Northwest.
Good evening, rockaholics. Thanks for joining us. This is Loud and Local on The Rock, featuring music born right here in the Great Pacific Northwest. 99.9 KISW.
Hello, it is Loud and Local, 11 p.m. here on the almighty KISW. My name is Kevin Deers, and I am about to serve you up another hour of awesome local music, the last night of your weekend, unless, of course, you have Monday off, like a lot of us do. It's Memorial Day weekend, and I'd like to send this song out to all the veterans, anyone who fought for our country. Again, it is Loud and Local, which is everything from the 360 to the 253, the 206, the 425, and even a little bit of the 509. Tonight, I have a band called Stay Gold in studio playing at Rainfest. I pre-recorded this interview, so it is not live, but it is a great interview. This band, one of my favorite hardcore bands of all time, and I got to see them during their formative years and then also their reunion shows. So very, very cool. Right now, I'm going to start off with a band that's putting out a new record on Friday. This is a band called Wyatt Olney. It's Save Me by Wyatt Olney and the Wreckage. My bad. It's Loud and Local here on The Rock.
Seize this day, and I, if I'm in prison, so I go away. I,
Loud and Local with Kevin Deers rolls on 99.9 KISW.
Grab your coat and cigarettes.
Let's go!
Loud and Local. Hilltop Rats, the party song there. Very, very awesome band. Punk Rock Bowling going down in Las Vegas. So there's a lot of punk rock going on this weekend. Also, Rainfest over at Numo's. Lots of great bands. And I will be playing an interview I did with them. It is not going to be live. I promise you it is awesome, though. Stay Gold, a formative band for me and my love of hardcore music. And I'm going to be playing an interview I did with Stay Gold. They should be playing right around now. I think they're playing right around now. I got a text from my friend at Numo's. So, Rainfest weekend. 3 days of hardcore music. Rainfest 10, the final Rainfest, the final mosh. We'll be back with Stay Gold. It's Loud and Local. It's 99.9 KISW Loud and Local back here in the studio. I am very, very happy to bring you guys a band that is reforming for the weekend, doing a reunion, a band called Stay Gold. First off, welcome to Loud and Local, guys.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks very much for having us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So first off, I just wanted to say that this band, definitely one of my favorite hardcore bands in the formative years of me going to shows, The Paradox and the U-District. They were one of the first bands I saw alongside, I think it was Champion, Over My Dead Body, Breaker Breaker, and Panic.
That sounds awesome, right.
That was a very good show for all of us. Yeah, good friends, good friends bands. That was, good era.
Awesome. So first off, why don't you guys introduce yourselves and tell us what you do for Stay Gold?
Hi, I'm Chad Rep, and I sing for the band, the least talented one, and do you just want to know, like, where I'm at? Okay, well, right now I'm living in Berea, Kentucky,
okay. This
tiny town, just going to school there, finishing up my degree. It's kind of it's a work college, so you get, like,
sure.
You can go for free.
Really?
It's great, yeah. So, finally finishing up some college and then working for an artist down there, just doing fabricating, like, whatever he needs. And
cool.
It's pretty fun.
Nice, dude. Cool. In Kentucky, so you're spread out there. Cool.
Yeah.
And Eagle, you are in Southern California.
That is correct, yes. I'm Eagle. I play drums in Stay Gold. I'm currently living in Southern California. I live in Long Beach, and I work in the exciting world of skateboarding, action sports industry.
Awesome.
Yes.
So hanging out with Rob Dyrdek.
A little bit, yeah. It's a little bit of a touchy subject with Rob right now and DC,
okay.
So we'll just...
leave that be.
I'll just plead the fifth on some of that info.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So Stay Gold, you're playing Rainfest Sunday night. Well, you know what? You guys are playing, like, probably right now. I will just spill the beans and say this is a pre-recorded interview, but you guys are playing tonight at Rainfest. Pretty insane that after 13 years so very, very cool. Did you guys ever do any interviews for magazines or radio or anything when you were, like, in the initial phase of Stay Gold?
You know, I mean, we did, like,
anything.
Fanzine interviews,
yeah.
You know, I think at the time, I think we existed in that window before hardcore sort of got even bigger. And I don't think that there was even an outlet for media in kind of what there weren't really magazines and radio that were still, it's like hardcore was still kind of a little bit
outside
less
of the boundaries.
Main.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I remember we did a couple of, like, zine interviews for kids on tour.
Yeah, around the country.
There was
after a show, but that was about it.
Never a great deal of interest when we sort of existed.
But posthumous, now you guys,
yeah,
eyes are on Stay Gold.
I don't know. I think we were always very small fish. And this whole thing the way this came about is crazy and bizarre. But honestly, after kind of getting back together and kind of, I mean, seeing some of these guys for literally the first time in 10 or 12 years, it's been great. I mean, it's been awesome. You know, vibes are good and we had a really good time.
Definitely.
And honestly, you kind of just fall back into old routines. Everybody's just been ridiculous and, you know, horrible jokes and laughing. And surprisingly, we remember the songs, which is actually the most impressive aspect.
That's also the most important part.
It really is, yeah. I mean, that was definitely a concern. I mean, Chad and I have always kept in touch really well over the years.
Awesome.
Ross and I have kept in touch a little bit, better than the other guys. But you just, you know, you fall out with guys out of sight, out of mind. Everyone is in different geographic locations at this point, all over the country. So there were definitely apprehensions and concerns, like, what is it going to be the first time we get into a room together? You know, it could just be a train wreck.
Yeah, I was pretty nervous about what it was going to look like when we all showed up together. But
yeah,
it's been surprisingly good.
It's like smooth.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Very, very organic, I guess.
So I kind of just wondering, for anyone listening now, Stay Gold, I want a brief rundown of Stay Gold. Like, how did you guys form? How'd you meet? And like, how did you guys start Stay Gold? What were, like, your influences, and how'd you all come together?
Oh, man.
I'm going to start.
It's a lot of questions in there.
Well, the first, Chad was one of the first people I met, like, in the Seattle hardcore scene. And I ran into him through, like, another friend I had met via hardcore, and it was actually the day that Chad was going to get a really possibly bad tattoo, and he was running around Capitol Hill, I think, trying to either, like, take out money or something, and he was telling me about this tattoo he was going to go get, and We became friends pretty quickly, and not too long after that, I was living in a very tiny studio apartment up on the hill, and Chad sort of moved in.
Into the
studio? On my couch.
Yeah, it was pretty uncomfortable.
Quarters, you know? So we spent a lot of time hanging out. We spent a lot of time kind of driving between Seattle and Auburn to where his folks
were. The Annex. Did you guys ever play the Annex?
No, we played the Annex.
We played our first show at the Annex, actually. Our very first show. But all the time we were hanging out, you know, we sort of realized that not only do we have a lot of bands we were sort of into and a lot of common influence, but it was also a lot of stuff that maybe a lot of, like, Seattle hardcore kids and like, a lot of friends I had weren't particularly into. I mean, it was kind of all over the place, but, I mean, you know, Chad and I liked a lot of the kind of skate stuff. Like, we liked 88 Fingers Louie. We liked No Use for a Name, but we also were obviously, you know, like, straight edge hardcore kids. So it's like we liked Turning Point and all the great classics.
Yeah.
Hot Water Music was always, like, a top three band for me. So we just had, I think, a lot of common interests, and I think Chad sort of, like, got into bands. We had similar interests and realized that nobody was really playing this type of music. And I don't know what it was. We didn't, you know, there's so much elements of melodicism and sort of the catchy stuff of some of the, like, you know, more of, like, the kind of melodic punk that we liked. But it's definitely, you know, there was the Gorilla Biscuits, Turning Point, all that kind of stuff in there, too. So we just... We were like, let's start a band. And at first, it was like, it almost felt jokey, you know? Like, that
yeah,
we were gonna,
it was really...
It was like, haha, let's start a band, you know?
It was so casual and just goofing around in the apartment. We this is like the second time we lived together when we started
it. Right, right.
Yeah, and we were just sort of goofing around and...
I think, we were into riding BMX.
And cool.
I skated too, but Chad was not a skater, so we had a BMX connection. And we had a couple of friends up on the hill... But also rode, so we started sort of like, we had this really, you know, humorous joke BMX crew that would kind of roll around. So at one point when we were going to talk about starting a band, we were going to call it Three Piece Crank. We were going to have like a BMX reference in our name, which is a total goof. But then things sort of started happening within a couple of years of sort of just being friends, where it suddenly was like, let's actually start a band. I was like in the very early stages playing like with Champion guys, and it was kind of like I wanted to do something that was a little more melodic, you know. There was like the Lifetime, and I mean, when Kid Dynamite demo came out, Chad and I drove around the entire summer and literally played that tape until it just warped into oblivion. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, still the Kid Dynamite record is the, you know, it's the top five of like our hardcore generation.
Yeah.
So we were pulling from a lot of influences that maybe the stuff and the bands that I was doing at the time weren't really interested in doing.
Yeah.
So
you just wanted to bring it all together for one project.
And it's funny, you know, I had asked Ross, our guitar player, to join the band, and he and I were in a really terrible hardcore band at the time. And it was the same, you know, everyone was in school, everyone had multiple jobs and bands. I was like, Ross, I want to start this other band, come play guitar. And he was like, no, I'm too busy. And I was like, well, Chad's going to sing.
Yeah.
And Ross was like, I'm in. And Chad had never been in a band. Chad had never sang, wrote lyrics. But, like, Ross was just so into the idea of being a band with Chad, who was, like, our friend and had faith in him.
Yeah.
That, like, that's what convinced Ross to come along, which is a testament to Chad's, you know,
he's the
awesome
unifying
man.
Somehow, I guess so. No, you tell it that way. Yeah.
And that's kind of it. I mean, it was just a thing. You know, we were always hanging out. We were always, you know, we were crammed into studio apartments living together. We were riding BMX bikes, and we just... You know, not to like be reductive, but it was like, you know, when you start a band with your friends, anytime you have someone that doesn't play an instrument, which in this case was Chad, it's like, well, you're the singer, you know? That's that's your role, because if, you know, it's very natural. It's like,
absolutely.
Well, we want to do this thing, but if you don't play anything, well,
here's your role.
Start writing lyrics, you
absolutely
know? So that was, that's
a simpler
the cliched
time.
Simple time, you know?
That's awesome.
So it's like, why wouldn't we start a band? We got to do something with our whiling days, you know?
Absolutely. 10 years of Rainfest, a hardcore festivities here in the Northwest, and they're going to be reuniting. And I'm going to play two songs from them right now, and then we'll hear more from them. This is first a band that they just dropped their name of Turning Point, doing a cover of Turning Point. This is Stay Gold doing Thursday.
Running it back, running it back.
Got Stegold in the studio, Chad, and Eagle from the band reuniting tonight for Rainfest. What does TGIF stand for? I've always kind of wondered.
TGIF is Thank God I'm Filipino.
Really?
And it is the song is a tribute to our old friend Juan, who we lost many years ago. While we were a band, a good friend of ours that was definitely part of the collective crew of kind of the Capitol Hill kids... Yeah, he passed away, and that inspired... But he was a Filipino kid, and he always used to wear this shirt with these giant letters that said TGIF. So when Chad, you know, obviously wrote the lyrics, we wrote this song for our friend Juan, we just thought TGIF was this funny inside joke because he always wore this shirt with these giant TGIF letters on it.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. Good to know. Cool little inside anecdote there about Stegold. Like I was saying, they are a hardcore band from the 1999 to 2003, class of 2003. so you guys, I was kind of wondering, so the hardcore scene has obviously changed a ton since you guys started in 99. Rainfest, obviously, when I first started going to hardcore shows, I would have never even imagined Seattle to have a huge scene with a big enough to... hold a fest where people would be flying in from, you know, hell, I have a friend who's flying in from Tokyo, Japan, just to see you guys on Sunday. So can't even imagine, I couldn't have even imagined it. What were the bands that you guys played with back in the day, and what were some of the venues you frequently played at, and what was the scene like, would you describe it as?
I don't know who you go first.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we played at the Annex, Auburn Annex, more than a few times.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called anymore. What was the Paradox that was in the U District?
That was the Paradox, and now it's like a theater for improv or something.
Yeah. I know at times it was real small. At times, you know, shows, we'd have like those shows at Big John's house, way out of the way, you know, there wouldn't be too many people. I don't know. It was small, but not, you know, it wasn't tiny.
I always felt very local. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that's so funny in hindsight, or to meet kids from other parts of the country, or even way crazier kids from other countries. I mean, Stegold was really just a Seattle band, and we were such a local band. We did pretty well on the West Coast, and we did a lot of jaunts down the West Coast.
Sure.
And we play all these California cities, and I think that... I don't know why, per se, like, why the West Coast always, we kind of had a good fit, but at the time we were, the first big trek we took across the country went to the East Coast. I mean, we were just not a well-received band.
Where's the breakdowns?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe a part of it was that, you know, at that time you had all these really, really morose, dark, heavy, hardcore bands, which, again, I mean, we liked. I mean, it's not as though we just... But that was sort of a thing when we existed. Everyone was into that just really dark death imagery, and everything was splattered in blood or black, you know, and it was just... Yeah.
You're like, we're not American Nightmare, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right, and I mean, that band is American Nightmare. I mean, obviously, like, incredible band, hugely influential band to a million people, but, you know, we didn't really fit in there. I mean... So I always just felt like we were a Seattle band.
Yeah.
Our friends would always come out. You know, I always felt like Seattle shows were fun. They weren't ever particularly big. I think the biggest show we ever played is we opened for, like, Good Riddance and Death by Stereo. And so there was 500 people at the Rock, not Rock, El Corazon.
El Corazon.
I mean, that to us was like, well, that's the biggest show we'll ever play.
Yeah.
You know, like, but yeah, it was local bands. And I mean, I know that we had... sort of like-minded friends and bands in other cities, and, you know, and once the Indecision thing kind of happened, Records, not the band, obviously, like Faded Gray were like some of our brothers in arms in Las Vegas. I mean, we actually met those guys on the first Champion tour we did. When I was still in the band, Chad roadied with us on the very first Champion, when all we had was like a demo tape.
You know? Oh, I got that demo tape.
Back before Champion became the awesome band that they became. We weren't a particularly good band. They became an incredible band, clearly. But we met the Faded Gray guys, and so then, of course, you know, however long down the line when Stegold kind of came into fruition, you know, we played shows with the Faded Gray guys, and that we were label mates, and Lance to this day is still a good friend. And, you know, so I feel like those were the kind of bands that we sort of, you know, sort of fit in with. I mean, it was a sort of, emotional, hard on your sleeve, kind of introspective hardcore, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But again, I think I always just felt like we were a local band. I never felt like we were any sort of a presence. I never felt like anybody outside. Yeah, we just, you know, we didn't tour a great deal off the West Coast. You know, the one time we tried, it didn't go very well. And after that, it was sort of the end. I mean,
yeah.
So, yeah, to the gauge of it, to me, I always just felt like we were a punk band playing in the basement. I mean,
yeah.
It's just, you know, Seattle is such a small...
That's what always felt right.
Small
to us.
Feel,
I mean,
you know.
We sort of sought that out as well. That was...
Yeah.
What we enjoyed the most.
We were much happier playing on the floor. Or
didn't want to be a rock and roll, huge rock and roll
band. I don't think we ever... I mean, it's so strange now to see how big bands can become and see some of the opportunities they get. Because, I mean, every time I've ever started a band, like, my dream is, like, I want to put out a 7-inch, then I can just die happy. And it's like this, and that's, like, this crazy unattainable thing. And
So
it's like any time... we got to do anything, it felt like, oh, this is crazy. I just thought we'd put out a demo and play to our friends and play a show. And so that's, you know, anything that ever happened beyond that, it still kind of blows my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like you said, someone having a Stig Old tattoo, it's like, what are you, crazy? I mean, it's like, that's nuts. I mean, like, we do because we were in the band.
Yeah.
Like, and we're just, you know. But it was always something that we felt very... It was a huge part of our lives, and some of the greatest times, I think, I could collectively speak for everyone. I mean, that it was... I never felt like we were a particularly large band. We didn't play these particularly large shows. It just always felt like our buddies were always there, and our buddies' bands we were always playing beside, you know?
So there was no grand scheme for the Stegold Arena tour.
No. I mean, honestly, this Rainfest is the, you know, the most high-profile, you know, craziest, biggest show we've done, and it's... I mean, it only makes sense to come and do this in Seattle. I mean, obviously, again, I think that through and through, regardless of the fact that people, you know, live in these different geographic locations now, to me, I mean, Stig Old is just a Seattle band, and I'm proud to be associated, and I press to be associated as a Seattle band. I mean, there's a rich history of, you know, of... I mean, conscious or not, so many of our influences were local bands. You've got Undertow, you've got... Seaweed, I mean, it's one of our favorite bands of all. And granted, sorry, that is, it's a Tacoma band. Seaweed, if you hear this, I apologize.
They will always rep Tacoma.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no, I mean, just the Northwest in general, I mean, Stig Old is, again, it's a very Seattle thing, and I never thought we were anything, I never thought anyone really took notice outside of, like, Auburn and Seattle, Tacoma, you know?
Although, I feel like on tour, we are always sort of surprisingly lucky to meet, like, one or two kids at each show who just, like,
die hard.
They just really got into it, and you know, they were so positive, and so, like, it always felt good. You know, it was always like a really
I think
nice
we always
surprise.
Preferred to, like, I mean, some of my favorite bands are those bands that not everybody loves, but the people that like that band, I mean,
love that band.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I always go back to Silent Majority. They're probably my favorite hardcore band of all time.
Yeah.
But you talk to kids, and they're like, "What are you talking about? Like, Silent Majority? Like, that's not..." You're like, "No, that's literally the greatest band of all time."
Yeah.
You know, so I always appreciated that. I feel like kids that liked us were very few and far between, but they were really there for us, as opposed to, like, oh, everyone, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it feels better, that it feels a little more genuine if the numbers are small, you know. It's the quality, not quantity.
Yeah,
you know, I think so.
Awesome. Well, you guys are back after 12 years. 12 years.
Yeah,
your last show was 2004 at the Paradox, and you guys are back. What brought you guys back together 12 years after for one more show at Rainfest?
It's a wild story.
Let's hear it. We got some time.
It started as kind of a very strange whim where we were on the cusp of playing in San Diego, of all places.
At the Shea Cafe?
We were going to play the Shea Cafe. This was back in February or March, I think.
Sure.
And what happened was...
Of this year?
This was, yes. Yeah. Just a few months back. We had some friends playing a show, and some old label mates were on the show.
Was it Over My Dead Body and Bane?
Yes, that was the event.
Cool.
So I think the seed that was sort of planted, I joked with Chad. I was like, you know, Bane, Over My Dead Body, et cetera, playing the Shea. I was like, you know... 12 years ago, we would have been playing the show, or we would have wanted, we would have been, like, dying to play this show, you know? And I was doing a band at the time with another San Diego guy, Spencer, who used to do a band called Find Him and Kill Him. You two might remember. Awesome band. And Spencer used to book at the Shea, used to book a lot of shows there. I was at the time doing a band with him, and I said, yeah, I was kind of laughing with Chad. He's like, Band and Over My Dead Body, it feels like it's 2000, 2002. You know,
sure.
We would have killed to get on that show. And he was like, oh, man, like, let me talk to the promoter kid doing the show. And I was like, what? Like, it's a joke, you know? Like,
yeah.
Two of the guys live on the East Coast, et cetera. And it's like, Spencer kind of came back and was like, man, that kid would be really stoked if you guys, like, and I was like, what? Like, it was a joke, you know? And then suddenly it was like, well, if you guys, I was like, what if we just did, like, an unannounced set, opened the show without telling anybody we're playing, and just saw our friends again, and played, like, basically we were just an unannounced local band.
Yeah.
Just because this, and so it all suddenly sort of was, like, becoming this actual thing. And so I was like, Chad, like, suddenly we might just go play this goofy unannounced show in San Diego of all places just because we have some friends playing. And I reached out to the other guys who I really, again, you know, a couple of them we haven't kept in good touch. I mean,
yeah.
Friendly, civil, of course, you know. I was like, hey, guys, like, would you guys be interested in coming out to San Diego to play a one-off show for, like, absolutely no reason? And miraculously, those guys were like, okay, sure, that sounds fun. And I was like, oh, okay, we're going to do that. And then through all these various circumstances and things, that the bottom kind of fell out of that event. But what it did was it sort of opened communication for all of us and got us all just sort of talking again. And everyone sort of was excited about the prospect of just playing this random one-off show. And so we suddenly sort of had the wind taken out of our sails, and we just sort of went back to our lives thinking, like, well, that would have been cool. You know, see you later. You know, I hope your life is good, because we never see each other. And you know, we had a Seattle friend who suddenly, it's like he kind of got wind of the almost thing happening, and he started really kind of campaigning for us to play. And he's like, yeah, I should play
Rain
Fest.
We see you, Jim Barris.
That's Jim Barris, our biggest spokesman. And it was funny because he said, oh, you guys should play Rain Fest. And I'm like, well, you know, no one invited us to play. I mean, like, we don't have an invitation to play Rain Fest. Like,
yeah.
Sure, I guess that would be cool. But I was like, Jim, like, you know, no one's asking Stay Gold to play shows. I mean, it's not like something we're even campaigning for. It was like this weird thing almost happened. But then, of course, you know, I start getting the texts from Jim. And he's like, okay, you guys should play Rain Fest. I'm like, again.
I just talked to Matt.
You know, like, yeah. He's like, well, he's like, do you want me to put you talk to Matt? I'm like, no, I don't want to ask to play. Like, no, like, this is crazy, Jim. And so Jim was really the sort of catalyst for really pushing. And then suddenly, you know, it's like, I get a text from Matt. It's like, we'd love to have you play Rain Fest. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. Let me reach out to the guys again. And so then we realized, though, if we're going to play a show, I mean,
you know, do it in Seattle.
Why on earth would we go play? But again, it was this very, like, kismet kind of thing about the San Diego show almost happening. It was just going to be this very surprise, unannounced thing. And, you know, the two kids in San Diego that liked us would have been really excited.
Yeah.
We always had good times at the Shake.
I mean, of course. San Diego was honestly,
yeah.
They're like a home away from home. We had friends there always. I mean, obviously, no shortage of amazing bands. And you had the Shake, which was like a home to us. So, you know, in a way, it made sense. But it obviously didn't make as much sense as the, obviously, playing here, like, hometown show. And so when Jim really pushed, and then suddenly he just talked to Matt, and those guys reached out to us, I mean, it was just humbling and crazy. And we were like, well, I mean, look, like, Rainfest is this huge thing with these massive, you know, renowned hardcore royalty bands and local bands that are obviously more relevant today. And so it's like, you know, what are you guys doing? Like, you know, you're gonna bring down the rep of your fest having us
play, you know.
But that's kind of how it came together. And so I just hit everyone up again. You know, we have like, Chris is in Pennsylvania, Cam lives in New York. I started reaching out to guys again. I'm like, well, we have another show opportunity possibly if you guys, you know, want to get together. And that's kind of how it all just sort of started, by playing this possible goofy one-off secret show in San Diego for no good reason.
That's awesome. That is a cool story. That's awesome. We're going to get into another song. Actually, a couple. We're going to play, let me see here. We're going to play Third Person and then Pills of Advice, the title track from your full length on Indecision Records. This is Stay Gold. We'll be right back with a little bit more from Stay Gold here on Loud and Local. We got Stegold in the studio. This is Chad and Eagle from an awesome band. You may not have heard of them, but you definitely got to check out their 7-inch. Do you guys put out a 7-inch and a full length? Is that it?
Two 7-inches.
Yeah. Two 7-inches?
Cool. Yeah.
Awesome. So what would you like Stegold to be remembered for?
Oh, my gosh. That's a big question.
It's kind of like what we touched on.
I'm just sort of happy that we're remembered at all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to me, it's surprising and also really humbling. You know, to find out that kids that like are, that have a tattoo, or you know, like the few times I've gotten emails from people who are just telling me like, you know, certain lines or lyrics have meant, you know, so much to them. I mean, that's the most amazing feeling I've ever felt, and it, you know, like I said, really humbling, really amazing.
Very cool.
It's forever humbling. I mean, it's still, I think all we'd want to be remembered as is just like an honest band. I mean, and that's a testament to Chad. I mean, you know, the Chad Stegold. Whatever level of quote-unquote success or any way we connected with people, the music's fine. I was responsible for a lot of that. But, you know, I mean, the reason there's that connection
very lyrically.
It's Chad. I mean, it's a lyrical band, and it's a testament to that guy who had never been in a band and never been a singer and never wrote lyrics, you know. I mean, it's kind of like no offense, we were all surprised. Like, I was like, man, like, I thought this was going to be a fun, goofy thing, but, holy heck, Chad is...
Some depth there.
This is
Whoa,
Chad's,
bro, you're
Chad's
deep.
Shine.
Yeah,
that's, you know.
You knew. I didn't know.
I think, just anybody that likes our band to me is the most humbling and awesome thing. And yes, like Chad said, just the fact that anyone would remember us is like a thousand thanks. And just it's overwhelming and humbling. And it's surprising because we just, again, we wanted to put out a demo and play some shows. And
yeah.
That's all we expected.
So. Well, that's a good way to look at it. Just stay humble, guys. Awesome. Stegold, I don't want to cut you off, but I want to play one more song by you guys. It's off the final Pills and Advice record. You can pick it up, I'm sure, online somewhere through the Rev HQ distro. I'm sure it's still available and in print on Indecision Records. I'm going to play a song called Toy Boats and Battleships. And again, Eagle, Chad from Stegold, thanks again for coming up to Loud and Local. And
thanks for having us.
You'll see me on the stage as I'm stage diving.
Awesome.
Excellent.
You.
Here it is, Stegold on Loud and Local. We'll be right back.
Loud and Local with Kevin Deers rolls on 99.9 KISW.
Thanks again to Stay Gold for coming into studio. It is Loud and Local. It is Memorial Day weekend. I hope you have an incredible Memorial Day weekend. Again, I'd like to send another thank you, a huge thank you, a debt of gratitude to all that fought for us in Memorial Day. We celebrate you. So I'm going to end with a band called Tacos from the area. They're very heavy. The song is called Wood Elf. Thank you for listening to Loud and Local on The Rock.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.